It's the Painless Living Show with host and pain treatment expert, Dr. Cassaro, and co-host, Dennis Bergmeier. If you or someone you love suffers from chronic pain, get answers here. Call now, 888-440-4442. That's 888-440-4442. Or visit us online, painlessslivingradio.com.
And good morning. It is John Ashton together with Dr. Michael Cassaro, and the doctor is here for the next hour, and he's going to talk with you about pain and how to get rid of it, how to live with it, how to make it go away.
Any kind of chronic pain.
Right.
All questions are welcome. Today, our specific topic that we're going to be talking about is arthritis, one of those obscure, uncommon pain problems. Yeah, there's not too many people that
have that.
No one
ever has. No, yeah. No. It's, I don't want to say, well, it is rather common. It is rather common. And why don't we just get right to it? Why? What is it that makes it afflict so many people?
That's a good question. I wish I knew the answer to it. There's a lot of things that contribute to it, but there's no just one thing.
Okay.
Probably the reason that bring most people to see the doctor, see me, for arthritis pain, is it's the result of an old injury.
Okay.
That joint got injured somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be what's causing your arthritis.
Right.
Or it could be just something going wrong with something else in your metabolism. Or it could be the result of an infection.
Okay. What is it specifically? Because I think a lot of us use the term maybe too broadly to describe stuff that we feel is wrong with us.
Well, it's a pretty broad term.
Okay.
So it can be used broadly. What it is, arthritis, just simply defined, is inflammation in a joint.
Okay.
And that's either Greek or Latin or something. You know, it doesn't. It's not English, but right. Arthritis, we use it. It's an English word now. Mm-hmm. And inflammation is usually associated with pain.
Right.
Especially when you've got an inflamed joint and you're trying to walk on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts.
It does. And it's nagging. And this time of year especially, is it a wives' tale, or does cold adversely affect your body? Do you hurt more? Is it harder to move? Or is it just that we're so depressed because of the weather, it just goes through into our physical conditioning?
Well, the scientists say that there's no rationale behind that.
Okay.
But I can parade people past all day long that'll tell you how much worse it is in the wintertime.
Right.
Now, there's all kinds of schools of thought as to why that is.
Mm-hmm.
I think temperature is one, especially if you've had arthritis in your hands, or you've ever known anybody with arthritis in their hands and fingers. When it's cold and their hand temperature is lower than the rest of their body temperature, they have a lot more trouble, not just with the pain, but also stiffness and inability to grasp things well.
I've taken rudimentary high school science, and I know that when things get cold, they contract.
Yeah.
So contraction around inflammation would exacerbate the inflammation problem, I would think. But, hey, I was absent that day in medical school.
Yeah, well, use words like that, you may get an honorary degree.
That would look good on the wall. I'm just saying. But no, again, whether there be a real reason or not, I think all of us will admit that it hurts worse when it's cold. And, you know, because a lot of times the comfort of just wrapping yourself up in a warm blanket and getting a hot cup of tea or coffee or cocoa or something on the couch, it just seems to make you feel better.
Well, that sounds good anyway, and I'm not having any problem with arthritis right now.
A large number of people do. So are there any generic kind of things you can tell people, or is it on a case-by-case basis on what they need to do?
Well, no, there is good general information that'll help people with arthritis, but certainly – if your arthritis seems to affect one joint more than the others, or one extremity, then there's probably things that are specific that can be done, and that gets to be more of a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
But in general, what you want to do is stay active. Keep those joints moving. if you've got arthritis, the worst thing you can do is sit on the couch and be still till it gets better, because it won't. And anybody that's got arthritis will tell you that, you know, the hardest time of day for them is the morning.
Right.
Once they get up and start moving around, things get better.
Yeah.
And the reason is that joints that are moving don't hurt as much as joints that aren't moving.
You know, we know that. I think, you know, intellectually we can conceive of that. But realistically speaking, how do you exercise when everything hurts? I mean, how can you do that?
Well, if you're in that bad of a shape, there's a couple of ways to do it. One is to work into it gradually.
All right.
Because if you just all of a sudden try to pick up where you left off in high school,
yeah,
things aren't going to go well. The other thing is, and this works really well for a lot of people, especially people that have arthritis that interferes with their ability to stand up and bear weight,
mm-hmm,
or walk,
yeah,
is to exercise in the water. Every pool around has the water arthritis exercise classes. That's what they call them.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in the water supports your body.
Right, right.
So what you find is you can be a lot more flexible and do a lot more than you can on dry land.
Yeah.
And it becomes a really good way to get back into an exercise routine. And then just to add to that a little bit, a standard heated pool, especially in the wintertime, is probably around 85 degrees, which is okay, but it's still kind of cool on arthritic joints.
Okay.
But if you find a warm pool, which is usually around 92 degrees,
mm-hmm,
or a therapy pool, which is more like 96 degrees, that feels like bath water. And then you can get in there to do your water arthritis classes, and it'll work like having a heating pad on every joint in your body. It'll probably work really well to relieve the joint pain in addition to allowing you to exercise.
Right, because as you said, the more they move, the freer they become and the less pain associated with that movement. So it makes perfect sense. How about a hot tub?
Hot tub sounds great anytime. Yeah, hot tub is a good idea, but when you're in the hot tub, you want to be moving.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good idea to keep those joints moving. There's a natural lubrication that forms in the joints,
mm-hmm,
especially when you've got the inflammation down and the pain down and you're
right,
moving the joints. They tend to lubricate themselves a little bit better.
Is arthritis a result of aging? I mean, is it even if you have an injury, is it just the consistent year after year after year, it just gets worse and worse until finally it starts manifesting itself as pain?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The more time you invest,
uh-huh,
in your arthritis, the more trouble you'll have from it. Whether it's the natural result of aging or not, I think, is a matter of semantic debate. I
mean,
some people, like especially young, healthy athletes, they just don't have enough time invested to feel the full consequences,
okay,
of those injuries. But when they come back in their 50s and 60s, it's those old injuries, that car wreck as a teenager,
uh-huh,
that, you know, they dislocated a hip or something, and now here it is 30 or 40 years later, and they can't bear weight on that hip anymore. But for 20 years, it didn't seem to bother them too much, just a little ache.
Yeah. I have another question. I have a friend who's afraid, I guess, or nervous, probably is a better word, of being afflicted with some serious arthritis because he has a mother and two aunts who, you know, from the same family who all have bad arthritis. Is there any genetic deal with this at all, or does it not matter if your parents have it?
Well, there probably is some. But I think that genetics is really a very small part.
Okay.
A lot of the time that bad arthritis runs in families like, mm-hmm, that, it's not so much genetics as it is that people in the same family tend to be in the same car that rolled over.
Or share the same lifestyle.
They're all out four-wheeling together.
Right.
You know, it's the other things that come with being in the family that contribute more than the genetics. And I don't want to get onto a soapbox about diet, but diet does have a whole lot to do.
Why should this week be any different than any other week, Doctor?
Well, it doesn't cause your arthritis, but right. It can sure make it hurt a lot worse.
Okay. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, sugar would be the number one culprit. And then anything that turns to sugar right after you eat it, which would be all your starches.
Which is everything else that tastes good.
Yeah, bread, yeah. Cereal, pasta. Yeah.
So then one would think that maybe those who follow the more ethnic Italian diet would be suffering from bad arthritis.
Especially in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, even if you look at the diet that Italians in Italy actually eat or ate traditionally.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily loaded with bread and pasta. It was still mostly vegetables.
That's true. Mostly.
Yeah. So I think that what we identify here in America as an Italian diet is kind of an Americanized marketing version of what Italian fast food has evolved into.
As is the same with Mexican, Chinese, and
that's
all
right.
Those ethnic foods that we've taken
over.
Yeah,
real good
of.
Example. You look at Mexican fast food in this country,
yeah.
And then you take a trip to Mexico, and you find out that that's not what they serve in the restaurants down there. Yeah.
Go to Guadalajara and ask for a chimichanga. They'll look at you really funny. Our phone number here is 888-440-4442. Dr. Cassaro is here to discuss pain in general, your pain specifically, or whatever it is you need to speak with the doctor about. Arthritis, our topic today, but we will entertain any pain conversation that you may be anxious to have with the doctor. So, again, it's 888-440-4442. So, how about are there different kinds? Because I hear about some people just talk about arthritis. Some people talk about rheumatoid arthritis.
Well, when you mentioned arthritis running in families before, after I got started answering that, I started thinking, you know, there is another type of arthritis. What we were talking about initially is what I'll call garden variety arthritis that anybody gets. It's known as osteoarthritis in the business or degenerative arthritis.
Okay.
There's another type. There are actually several types, but rheumatoid arthritis does have a genetic predisposition.
Okay.
You can inherit that. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you will get rheumatoid arthritis, but if you inherit that predisposition, you're more likely to get it than somebody else in the population who didn't inherit that gene.
Right. Now, would rheumatoid arthritis be the version of the situation that causes like malformation in fingers and things like that, or
yeah,
is that different still?
If you have a really aggressive form, it tends to strike at a young age, and you get a lot of joint deformities, especially very characteristic in the hands where all the fingers kind of point towards the pinky.
Right.
Also, people tend to get involvement in their neck very early and not associated with trauma. You know, it doesn't have to be a whiplash to cause it. So there are a lot of ways to get deformities and impairment from the rheumatoid arthritis. Those people end up getting joint replacements more frequently and at a younger age.
Okay. I was going to ask if the treatments are similar, and how difficult is it for a person in your position to be able to diagnose whether it be rheumatoid or some other form of arthritis?
It's not really that difficult to make the distinction between them. There's some laboratory testing, but mostly just on physical examination.
Okay.
The typical joints that are involved that don't usually get involved with degenerative arthritis.
All right. We are going to take a break, but we're not going anywhere. You need to hang out with us, too. And remember, the phone number is 888-440-4442, or you can always contact directly through the contact button at painlesslivingshow.com. Again, any topic that you would like to discuss with the doctor, we're here for you for the rest of the hour.
To learn more about the topics or products mentioned on the program, visit our website, painlessliving.com.
And while you are there, of course, you can always go to the contact button and get in touch directly with Dr. Cassaro and get an answer one-on-one. May not be immediately, may not be within, you know, the same day even, but he'll get to you.
Every one of the questions are answered. Sometimes we get really good content in the question that sparks a little interest that I think we can share with our audience.
Right.
And your email question may actually be featured on the show.
As is this one we are about to get you right now. The question came in that said, my hip arthritis is really bad. It hurts so much I can't stand or walk for more than a step or two. I've been told I need a hip replacement. People I know who have had hip replacements say it's like a miracle. But my cardiologist says my heart can't take the surgery. My internal medicine doctor says my lungs are bad enough that I might not come off the ventilator after surgery. I spent a week on a ventilator after my prostate surgery a year ago, and I don't want to end up on a ventilator again. Is there any other way to get rid of this pain in my hip?
You know, that's fortunately, that's not a real common question that I get. But there are people out there that could benefit from something like a joint replacement that for other medical reasons, they are just not candidates to have that type of surgery. And, you know, that's unfortunate, but the good news is there are other things that can be done. And what I told him about was a procedure using radio frequency. Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about radio frequency on this show before.
Yes, we have.
Mostly for treating things like headaches or spine pain, different type neck mm-hmm. pain, back aches, things like that. But radio frequency can also be used to treat hip pain and other joints too. It uses the technology that a microwave oven uses to burn the little nerves that go to the hip joint so that this man wouldn't have to feel his hip joint anymore. He would still have the arthritis mm-hmm. and he'd probably still be stiff, but the joint wouldn't hurt. And this is something that ends up being a really good treatment for people that are in his boat where mm-hmm. they just aren't surgical candidates. Yeah,
surgery just is out of the question.
Yeah, it's out of the question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What good is it to have a hip that doesn't hurt if you're on a ventilator?
Yeah, that's true, because you're not going to do a whole lot of walking on a ventilator.
That's right.
Plus, there are many things in the world that are not as comfortable as a ventilator. I mean, there aren't many things in the world that, you know what I meant.
So we don't need to go there too much, but this is a procedure, this radio frequency procedure is done with needles. Mm-hmm. So there's no, I mean, local anesthetic, but there's no anesthesia required.
You don't go under.
Yeah. You don't go under. And it's an outpatient procedure. Takes usually scheduled in a 15 or 20 minute time slot. You might be there for an hour altogether. I mean, it's kind of a simple procedure.
Piece of cake.
Like I said, it doesn't get rid of the arthritis, just mm-hmm. makes it where you can't feel it anymore.
Right. Strange question. Is arthritis curable in the common sense of the word?
No.
Okay.
Okay, in the common sense of no.
Right.
But you can make it where it doesn't hurt anymore.
Okay.
And we just talked about one method, and that's mm-hmm. kind of a, let's call it drastic, or it's invasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's destructive. You destroy mm-hmm. the nerve so that you can't feel the pain, but that's one way to get rid of the pain from arthritis.
Right.
First, I'll talk about why you have the arthritis is because your body is trying to heal.
Okay.
That is the healing mechanism in there working that's causing the joint to get inflamed and to degenerate over time. So if you're talking about healing arthritis, it's kind of a play on words almost because the arthritis is trying to heal the joint. Unfortunately, it just makes it hurt.
So eventually, would the joint heal?
Well, it depends on what joint you're talking about. If you're talking about somewhere in your spine, eventually your body will probably fuse those joints together, and then they don't hurt anymore.
Right.
But if you're talking about your elbow or your wrist, where you're going to keep moving it all the time, it's never going to fuse together. And so it'll keep hurting.
So,
but there are things we can do to decrease that. And the number one thing is to try to decrease the inflammation. or your body's tendency to promote inflammation.
Is that sleep, diet, exercise, or medicine?
Well, all of them. There are medicines that can reduce inflammation, but the bigger things are the sleep, diet, and exercise. But there's also a nutritional supplement. There are many, but there's one in particular that anybody with arthritis ought to really seriously consider taking, and that's called glucosamine. Most of our listeners have probably heard of it. You see it advertised on TV.
All the time, yeah.
You hear about it a lot of places. This is probably the most researched nutritional supplement that there is.
Okay.
There are studies with 25-year follow-up periods.
Wow.
So there's a lot of data on glucosamine, mm-hmm. and it's very convincing data that over the long haul, like we're talking 25-year follow-ups, people that take glucosamine for their arthritis mm-hmm. do much better long-term than people that take anti-inflammatory medications or try other type medications. Right. And it's got to do with the ability of the glucosamine to enhance the maintenance and repair of the cartilage in the joint a little bit better than the other things.
Okay, now they're throwing two quick questions. One is, you get confused because you say that sugar and things that turn into sugar are bad for, you know, you're getting rid of the pain, yet glucosamine sounds like it's sugar based.
Well, no, it's not really sugar based. It's there is a problem with glucosamine if somebody already has diabetes.
Okay.
And it may raise their blood sugar. But there are ways to work with that too.
Okay.
The big thing though is that the root word may sound the same.
Yes. But that's where the confusion came in.
As you know, it's completely different.
Okay, great. And the other question I had is a lot of us who are you know, being assailed now by the medical advertising, chondroitin is another word they throw in with glucosamine a lot.
Okay, they're not just throwing it in with glucosamine. It's actually put in the capsule with the glucosamine a lot of times. And that's a really good question. What is glucosamine and what is chondroitin?
Mm-hmm.
Well, to put it really simply, the chondroitin is your body makes chondroitin out of glucosamine.
Okay.
Now, if you're taking aspirin or any other anti-inflammatory medications mm-hmm. like ibuprofen or naproxen, anything like that, you need to have chondroitin with your glucosamine because your body is not going to do a very good job of making that conversion itself. But if you're not taking any of those medicines, you can save the money and just get plain glucosamine because the glucosamine costs less than the chondroitin, and the glucosamine is not cheap for good glucosamine.
Okay. All right, so now let me make sure. Glucosamine alone, if you're not taking anti-inflammatory medications like aspirin and ibuprofen.
Yes.
But if you are, then you need the chondroitin because your body is, for some reason, the anti-inflammatories are going to inhibit your body's ability to make its own chondroitin.
That's right.
All right.
You got it.
I'm into my third semester of medical school now. We're just moving along.
Yeah, we'll get that plaque for your wall. That's. Well, before you ask me another question, sure. I'd like to invite our audience to ask me some questions.
Well, that would be good too, because I'm sure their questions are probably a little more pressing than would be mine. Mine are informational. You've got pain and you want to know how to deal with it. 888-440-4442 is the number, and you can get right into the doctor and there's no waiting. You know,
that's right. No insurance required. Not today, anyway.
So much easier. So much easier. Again, it's 888-440-4442. How many of your patients, what percentages are arthritic problems?
That's a tough question, but I'd say close to 100%.
Wow.
Even though that's not why they come in here. Close to 100% of my patients have some form of arthritis somewhere that's probably contributing to the pain that they are complaining about.
Wow, that is substantial.
That's
kind of surprised
close to
100%.
That's kind of high.
Yeah, you can't get much higher than that. Not much at all. I guess, is there a, for someone who maybe just say has been living with a nagging pain due to arthritis for a while, a short while, you know, it hasn't progressed to being a debilitating pain, but it's just a pain in the neck pain, if you pardon me.
Okay, we have a show on that too.
is there a regimen that you would recommend to begin with to try to get it under control before anyone goes to any greater lengths and explores further medical situations just to see if it is indeed going to help them with their pain? Something simple that you can do, you know, from your couch?
From the couch.
Well, after you get up off the couch.
Well, the top of the list would always be exercise, mm-hmm. no matter what the form of arthritis is or what part of the body it's in. Now, you mentioned the neck. Anywhere on the spine, I would recommend getting an inversion table.
Okay.
And I think that if you've got arthritis in your spine, even if it's just causing a minor ache, mm-hmm. it's probably a good idea to see a chiropractor too.
Okay.
Just to keep those joints moving. They're less likely to get locked up with arthritis if you just periodically get them moved.
Right. I think there's two lessons to be learned here. One is that just because it hurts, don't stop using it, because that's going to make it hurt more in Usually. The long run. And the other is you can pick up your phone and call 440-4442. Let me start that over. It is 888-440-4442 and ask your specific question directly to the doctor. Don't move. Go to your phone. Call them now.
Call now. We'll talk to you right after the break.
It's the Painless Living Show. To be part of the program, call now. 1-888-440-4442.
The topic, arthritis or any specific pain you may be having, and some folks have called that number. Right now, we're going to go to the phones.
Yes, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you this morning?
I would like to know how strong of a glucosamine pill you would recommend.
Okay, that there's a range, a wide range. Somewhere up to about 1,500 milligrams is good, but depending on the quality of the glucosamine, less than that may be just as good.
Okay, the one I currently take is that SHIFF, S-C-H-I-F-F, and it's 1,500 milligrams with two pills.
So yes.
Would you say that's good?
Yeah, that's you're in the right ballpark there. Okay, you are. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling, and good luck to you.
Okay, thanks very much. Bye.
888-440-4442. And I guess that, that's a good question, but what would you do if you're taking 1,500 and you weren't finding enough relief?
Well, let's start first with what's enough relief. If you're expecting a miracle, this is something that's best to look at over the long term. Mm-hmm. How is this going to affect your arthritis as it progresses over the next decade or two or three? Mm-hmm. And from that standpoint, the glucosamine is the clear winner. I mean, nothing else even comes close. On the short term, though, people have a pain right now. They want that pain relieved. Glucosamine can also do that and is probably about the same as the typical arthritis medicines, the anti-inflammatory medicines. Mm-hmm. So on the short term, it does a decent job, as good as at least the over-the-counter medicines. On the long term, though, it's so much better. So that I would recommend, even if you're doing both, don't shortchange yourself by forgetting or neglecting to take the glucosamine.
What's your opinion on medications designed just to alleviate pain, not to do anything constructive to repairing the situation whatsoever, like the anti-inflammatories or the glucosamines? Are they important or possible or what?
Well, yes. You know, you're talking about mostly derivatives or cousins of morphine-type medications.
Yes, sir.
there is an appropriate use for those medicines.
Okay.
And, you know, it's hard to come up with specifics that either are good uses for it or not good uses for it, because that's really a case-by-case basis. If it's something on a short-term basis, mm-hmm. like you just had surgery,
yeah.
that's a much more appropriate use than if it's something that's never going away, because the medication, the pain medication, doesn't do anything to fix the underlying problem.
Right.
And it also has its accumulating side effects with time.
Mm-hmm.
So you tend to get worse in other areas, even though you might be controlling the pain. And in the long run, everything, including your pain, is probably worse for looking at that as a short-term solution for a long-term problem.
You know, I've always thought that, especially seeing when the NFL players get hurt in the second quarter and they take them and give them a shot and they're back out playing in the third quarter. The shot has done nothing but kill the nerve receptors for a while that feel the pain. You've got to be doing more damage by using something that's broken. Just because you can't feel the pain caused by that doesn't mean it's not there.
Yeah, well, the good news on that, at least these days, is that that shot is probably not a morphine derivative. That shot is probably an anti-inflammatory medication that's made for injection.
Yeah.
So the point, though, is still a good one, mm-hmm. that all you've done is cover up nature's protective mechanism.
Right.
So that you can go out there and make things worse.
Yeah, because Mother Nature is saying, stop doing that. At least give me a minute to fix it here for you.
With acute injuries, you probably are better staying on the couch a little bit, at least for the first day or two.
Yeah.
On chronic injuries, that's where you run into the problem with being sedentary. But the medications, the opiate medications, mm-hmm. derivative, because they're all derivatives of opium, those medications do serve a good purpose, but the side effects that accumulate, they suppress so many other things in your normal endocrine system, which is your body's hormone system, mm-hmm. which is effective in both men and women. It's not just women that have hormones. Men do too. And one of the things we hear a lot about on advertising these days is treatments for low testosterone for men.
Yeah.
One of the places where that low testosterone comes from is taking pain medications, especially over a long period of time.
Wow, okay.
We're talking about opiate pain medications. Mm-hmm. It decreases your body's production of testosterone, along with many other things mm-hmm. that leave you worse off in the long run than if you had just suffered with the pain.
Wow. Yeah, I've been looking through here. There's something you have listed on here that I have never heard of. And I thought I'd heard of everything.
One thing I've never heard of.
Yeah. Thunder God Vine. Is that it? You take that if you're Thor, do you?
Yeah.
I am Thor.
That's a nutritional supplement.
Okay.
And that's to help to decrease it does two things. It's to help mm-hmm. decrease the pain and inflammation,
mm-hmm.
but it also helps with your body's own ability to do the maintenance and repair on the cartilage in the joints.
Gotcha.
And, you know, that's the kind of thing, I don't know that I've ever seen that alone by itself in a capsule as a nutritional supplement, although it probably is somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an ingredient in a lot of multi-vitamin component combination treatments for natural treatments for arthritis.
Is it called anything else, or is it listed as Thunder God Vine?
Oh, that's the common name. It's got a scientific name. I couldn't pronounce it if I had to.
Or spell, so let's just forget about it. Okay, now, one of the things that I don't understand is the topical medications. Are those like anti-inflammatories that are used when you put them on your skin? They kind of filter into the body and do the same thing rather than being digested and going through that way? Or
yes. The point is that you can get a whole lot more medicine right where you need it
mm-hmm.
if you soak it in through the skin,
mm-hmm.
especially for a joint that's right under the skin, like your knee or your ankle or your wrist, something like that. It doesn't tend to work too well for the hip because there's too much other things, muscle mostly, mm-hmm. for the medicine to go through, that it tends to get absorbed and carried away in your bloodstream okay. before any of it gets to the hip joint. But these are not just anti-inflammatory medicines. You can have all kinds of medicines. Almost any medicine that can be taken by mouth mm-hmm. can be formulated into a topical preparation that'll soak right through the skin. They put it in a special base that right. soaks through the skin, and it carries whatever is dissolved in it with it as it goes through the skin.
Speaking of which, I was looking for Aspirin cream the other day, and it doesn't seem to be available anymore. Did something happen to Aspirin cream?
Yeah. Politicians. That's uh-huh. what happened to Aspirin cream. The Aspirin cream these days has acetaminophen in it.
Yeah.
Instead of aspirin.
Ah, okay.
But it's still effective. It's just not the same as the old Aspirin cream. But the good news is, if you really wanted to, you could make your own Aspirin cream. I mean, it's not that hard to do. Think about it. Just start with some plain hand lotion and grind up some aspirin tablets, dissolve them in the hand lotion, and you're off to a real good start.
So there, politician.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, we see a lot of that. That was one of the first casualties. I think that was probably in the 90s, about 20 mm-hmm. years ago, that change came about. But these days, what we're seeing is federal regulations changing on generic medicines.
Yeah.
Some of the generic medicines disappear because the companies just can't meet the
right.
new regulations. Other ones, the prices go up 10 times or more from one month to the next
mm.
because that's the cost of financing
the regulation.
The regulatory cost.
Yeah. Politics. Love it. Love it, love it, love it. 888-440-4442 is the phone number here. The Painless Living Show. Dr. Cassaro is here to describe and work with you one-on-one to help whatever pain situation you may be in, whether it be arthritis or something specific to you. You don't have to worry about just calling about arthritis because he knows pain and knows.
Personally.
And that's it. And can give you some information that'll help you treat it and hopefully alleviate it, at least to some extent, immediately, if not sooner, from the comfort of your home.
Okay, we're taking a call now from George, calling from Louisville, Kentucky. George, you're on the air at the Painless Living Show. How can I help you today?
My problem is severe leg cramps at night when I'm sleeping or when I'm in bed, only when I'm lying down.
Okay, there's a couple of different ways that I'm going to have you go about this. First is that what causes those leg cramps is a combination of two things. One is nerve irritation, and the other is a mineral deficiency. You have to have both to get those leg cramps. If you only have one or the other, then you don't get the leg cramps. So, mineral deficiency. Are you on any blood pressure medicines that are diuretics, water pills?
No, I'm not on any pills at all.
Okay.
Except I do take glucosamine for my back.
All right. And the other thing, the place where most of the nerve irritation comes from would be bone spurs in your neck. Well, I hear the background music starting that we're getting ready to go to a break. So what I want to do is ask you to hold on through the break, and we'll talk about things you can do to find out where you're getting your nerve irritation and things you can do to relieve your mineral deficiency. And hopefully with the two of those, the pain, the cramps stop. So hold on through the break, please.
All right.
It's like an office visit without the copay. The Painless Living Show.
Available right from the comfort of your home at 888-440-4442. We have some folks on the phone already. We're going to get right back to them.
Yes. Are you still with me?
Yes, I'm
okay.
Still here, Doc.
All right. We're talking to George right now about his restless legs. With the restless legs, mineral deficiencies, the most common being potassium or magnesium, and the potassium, that's why I asked you about the blood pressure medicines. Magnesium is another one that's real frequent. The people are deficient in that can cause restless legs. And another one is iron deficiency, even very mild iron deficiency. And then the most common place for the nerve irritation would be in your neck. So one of the things that I'd advise, especially since you told me that this only bothers you when you lay down, one of the things that happens when you lay down, doesn't matter whether you have a pillow or not, is it changes the way that your neck lines up with the rest of your spine. And because of that change, bone spurs that don't cause much irritation when you're sitting or standing, when your body is erect, bone spurs that don't cause much trouble then can all of a sudden be in a position to cause a lot of irritation when you lay down. And a lot of times what happens is they irritate the nerve fibers that are going down to your legs, and that's why you get the effect down in your legs. The best way to handle this is one of the things is address the mineral deficiencies. So take a bath in Epsom salts before you go to bed at night. That's magnesium. Okay, that'll soak right in through your skin a lot more than you could ever take by mouth, swallowing capsules. And that can prevent the cramps if it's due to a magnesium deficiency. Other thing is take potassium. Now, if you're not on any diuretics, I wouldn't recommend taking potassium unless you've got some laboratory studies or something that show that it's low, because it's really unlikely that you'd be deficient in potassium unless you're on a medicine that causes it.
Can't you just eat more bananas?
Oh, that's...
And keep the potassium levels up?
Yeah, well, bananas do have a reputation for providing a lot of potassium.
Mm-hmm.
Any other raw fruit has a lot of potassium in it, too. Okay. So an apple has just as much potassium as a banana.
Good, because I like apples more than bananas.
There you go.
All right, then.
So you're in good shape.
We are.
So the
I like them both.
Well, have
eat
one
more of them, George.
Do a research study then. Eat the apple one night, eat the banana the next night, and see which one works best for preventing cramps. The other thing is get your iron checked. Even mild iron deficiency, where it's still in the normal range but towards the low end, can contribute to leg cramps. And if you do have that, there are certain foods you can eat that are rich in iron, or you can just take iron supplements. Sometimes the iron supplements can upset your stomach, but there's ways around that too. And if you end up trying that and having trouble with it, you can call back. I'll give you some more detail, or you can contact me through the website at painlessliving.com and use the contact form. Now, another nutritional supplement that's really good is folate or folic acid. Now, you have to take a lot of it. Usually 5 milligrams or more is a place to start. Most of it in the health food stores is much less than that in a pill. So you usually have to look around maybe online for the high potency folic acid. And what that does is it helps to cut down on the nerve irritability. And then B vitamins are good because also they cut down on nerve irritability.
What type of vitamin?
B as in boy. And take a B complex so that it has a lot of B vitamins in it, not just B1 or B2. So folic acid, 5 milligrams a day, B complex vitamin, the Epsom salt bath before you go to bed at night, and eat fruit.
Okay, I do eat plenty of fruit.
Okay, so you're probably not deficient in potassium. Try the Epsom salts baths, see how that works for you.
Okay.
All right, George.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for calling. Good luck to you, and feel free to call back and let us know how it worked.
888-440-4442, the phone number, as you can see. Any question answered. I'd like to expand a little bit because I woke up 2 nights ago with a leg cramp, and that's the first thing my nurse wife said. You could go get some bananas, you know, and I'm going, yeah, okay, whatever. But it's nice to know that all fresh fruits carry the same amount, or apples at least have the same amount as bananas.
Sure.
But I found it happens not frequently, but when it does happen, it happens like when I'm stretching. You know, you're laying in bed and you just kind of do that whole comfort, let's stretch a little bit, and it'll be like one muscle will just tighten up in my calf, and it'll be very painful for a while.
Something about your stretching is irritating that nerve that goes to that muscle.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most likely explanation for it happening then.
Okay.
So you get the combination of the irritated nerve with a mild mineral deficiency, and mm-hmm. you get that cramp where that nerve is irritated.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll work on that.
Yeah.
I'll work on that. And why does it take so long for the residual pain to go away? I mean, the cramp can end, and that like loosening, immediate loosening,
that
is
ache stays there.
But the ache stays.
Yeah.
It hurts when you walk.
Well, there's two schools of thought on that. One is that that's the residual ache actually coming from the nerve irritation.
Okay.
The other is that when that muscle knots up on itself and cramps, mm-hmm. it cuts off a portion of its own blood supply. Not enough to where you get any muscle tissue that dies,
mm-hmm.
but enough where it doesn't flush out the metabolic products being produced by that intense contraction.
Okay.
So it takes a while after the blood flow returns for all those irritants that developed during that contraction to be washed away.
You know, it makes perfect sense now.
Wow. Maybe I need a diploma on my wall.
Well, you know, you have about 7 of them already. I think you're out of room, Doctor. Let's not get greedy, okay?
We'll pass the next one on to you.
Yeah, you need a much bigger office if you're going to be doing that. But I guess just to recap a little bit, again, for more typical arthritis situations, you're talking, you know, anti-inflammatories, trip to a chiropractor, the inversion table. I've got to get an inversion table. It just sounds like so much fun, whether you need one or not.
Actually, some people really do use them for enjoyment.
Do they?
And I have to admit, I use an inversion table on a regular basis.
Okay.
And I do like the feeling of being in an inversion table.
Is
I wouldn't
what makes
say
you
that
smarter?
I do it for enjoyment.
Is it the blood rushing to your head?
Blood going to
make
well,
you smarter?
I don't know. I don't know if I can go that far. But the inversion table is probably the single biggest recommendation that I give for mm-hmm. any kind of spine problem, anywhere from your head down to your tailbone. If you have a problem with your spine, that's probably the single best thing you can do on your own at home on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. If nothing else, to keep from getting worse. And for a whole lot of things, it's great for getting better.
And another idea would be, especially in this time of year, go to the Y or something.
Why?
And get use of the pool, because exercise is so much easier in the water, especially a heated pool.
Yeah, we talked about that earlier in the show. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the YMCA, they have probably about 6 or 8 organized water arthritis exercise classes every day.
Yeah.
There's a schedule posted there. You can see what fits into your schedule.
Yeah.
And the good news is you can go once or twice, get the routine down, and then you can do it on your own if mm-hmm. one of those 6 or 8 scheduled times doesn't fit into your routine.
Sure.
Or if you just don't like, you know, being in an organized routine,
right,
then do it on your own. You don't necessarily need the crowd.
But then again, you couldn't write me a prescription for a heated pool to build at home, right? Get my insurance company involved. It won't work that way.
I could write your prescription for it, but the insurance company is going to laugh. And if you spend enough where you can write that off as a medical expense on your taxes, the IRS agent, he's not going to be as amused as the insurance company.
Which is a very sad commentary right there. Oh, man. PainlessLivingShow.com is a great website to go to. Just check out if you're feeling any pain, or you want to do a little bit of research on pain or pain medications or pain, you know, ways to fight pain, or to get a direct line to Dr. Cassaro through the contact button there too. And again, we heard an email from a listener earlier in the show. It could be yours sometime.
Yeah. And one other thing I'd like to do, we don't plug the Twitter account very often, but Twitter is at Painless Living. And the question that I answered for George about his restless leg syndrome,
mm-hmm.
there's a few tweets on there that I've put out just over the past couple weeks about restless legs and what you can do yourself. So if you follow at Painless Living, you can get those little nuggets in 140 characters or less of how you can lead a pain-free life.
See? And if you can do it in 140 characters or less, I mean, how much easier could it get for you? All right? But just to jot down the number for next week's use, 888-440-4442 every week, Saturday. The doctor is here, and he's here just to help you.
I'm Dr. Michael Cassaro. Please join us again next week and every Saturday from 11 to noon Eastern time.
That's right. I'm co-host John Ashton. Be more than happy to have you here with us next week. Please make a note of it. 11 o'clock on Saturday right here. We'll be back next week. You have a great painless week. Talk to you later.